I spent a lot less time with her. I tried taking them out to Hello Timon last night, and we had a great time, but it was a 1-on-17, not a 1-on-6. We had a whole table, though half my shir I couldn't even make eye contact with, because they were on the other side of Hello Timon. It wasn't 1-on-6. The reason I'm telling you all this is, number one, for my own therapy to get it off my chest, but number two, more importantly, I'm telling you this because you have to know how massive your role is. You have to realize how much is in your hands. There's so little that the Rebbeim do. Right? There's so little that we accomplish. Everything that happens is in this room right now. Everything that happens, every positive step that these guys take, and I, with the risk of sounding dramatic, and I know I'm a very extreme and exaggerating person, so I often am like the boy who cried wolf, but when it's necessary, I will give that couching statement. With the risk of sounding dramatic, this is very often pikuach nefesh. There's so much in your hands. There's so much in your hands, and there's so much that's in your hands that no one else in the world can get done. No one else in this program, and none of their rabbeim are teachers in school, and not their parents. You have to realize there is so much that is in your hands. So push yourself. Push yourself to take every opportunity that you can to make another effort with another guy, another extra chabura thing, another extra time on your own at night reorganizing your chabura. If it means throwing out the pamphlet you made before the summer, because you have to restart because now you actually know your guys and you know what they need. So I apologize for that, but you got to do that because this is in your hands. It's in no one else's hands. And the impact you have cannot be overstated. So you have to do everything you can to take advantage. And in a few years from now, you won't be able to do it anymore. Because no matter what I try and do, I cannot play the role that you guys play. So take every opportunity, push yourself to find more opportunities to do every single thing you can possibly think of doing. I want to just speak quickly, that's number one, by way of introduction. Speaking quickly about, just in general, about goals. There's no great chachma in this, is all intuitive, but just to speak it out. When I was in Madrich, one of the things I remember feeling very frustrated about, and I'm not saying it's true about any of you, I don't know enough about the Madrichim and enough about how you guys are working. It seems to be amazing to me. But I remember when I was in Madrich and I knew from the inside, one of the things that I was very frustrated about was that it felt like Madrichim were kind of, you know, they wanted guys to change, they wanted guys to improve, they wanted to inspire guys, but there wasn't enough of a focused attention on the fact that our goal over these 6 weeks is to move every single guy, from point A to point B. Now, for every person, that point A and that point B are different. But the goal is to actually move each person, each soul that is on this camp, from point A to point B. That is our goal, and we have to be focused on that goal. And that can mean very different things. Sometimes that means not being particularly pushy at all, actually. So I don't mean moving them in a pushy sense, but we have to realize that that is our goal. I just remember feeling that that was a lack of awareness to that goal. And it was more of like, yeah, we're here to have a good time and build relationships and have a good time. All that stuff is a means towards an end of moving guys from point A to point B. What are a couple of examples of those different point A's and point B's? So obviously it's very individualized and depends on the person in a very specific way. But just to go over three levels of categories, what I call lower, middle, and upper level guys. A, lower level guys, very often, unfortunately, the door closed, very often, unfortunately, this means guys who are coming from yeshivish backgrounds, very, very often. The guys coming from yeshivish backgrounds, they're on a landslide down. They're on a landslide down of negativity towards Judaism. In my mind, the goal with guys like that, and not necessarily only the guys from yeshivish backgrounds, but the guys on these lower levels, our goal is to stop that landslide and to create a positive association with Judaism. That doesn't mean they're taking on more mitzvahs. It doesn't mean they're coming to Shabbos more on time. If they can do that, wonderful, that's great. But that's not necessarily the goal. The goal of moving from point A to point B is more of an internal movement from point A to point B. Point A is negativity towards Judaism, thinking it's annoying, thinking it's stopping me from living the life I want to live. Point B is I actually see something here that might be positive, that might be enjoyable, that might be meaningful, might be something I want to invest my time and my life into engaging with. That's point A to point B for lower level guys. For middle level guys, we're actually talking about some level of outside change. It's not 100% self-motivated though, meaning the change that I would like to see for middle level guys is that when they have an opportunity to attend something, a function in school, some extracurricular activity, a shiur that is actually interesting in their class, they will actually pay attention. That's the goal for middle level guys, is that they actually attend things when they go back home throughout the year. They see a flyer of something going on, and you know they live in Bergenfield and they see that Rav Moshe Tzvi is giving something. They might actually want to go. They live in, I don't know enough about the 510, whatever it is, they're actually going to want to go to something that's going on. For higher level guys, the point A to point B is more than that. Point A to point B means that when they get home, they're actually setting up chavrusas with their friends. It means that when they get home, they want to open a Gemara at night. They want to go to Shacharis earlier. They want to daven with Gemara. They want to take on things in a purely self-motivated way without anyone having to even drag them in. I think that if we just realize the different point A's and point B's and think about where our guys are holding and where we want to get them to, that's just a very helpful thing to realize of where we need to be addressing them, where we need to be pushing them, where we need to be focusing our attention, where we have more of an awareness of where we want them to get to. So think about your guys. Think about where they're holding. Think about which one of those three categories, and those are just general categories. You have to break it down, obviously, for every specific the guy, but think about those general categories of where your guys are holding, what their point A is and what their point B is. And again, remember the focus is actual movement from point A to point B. Okay. If anyone wants to cut me off at any point, questions, comments, anything, I'm more than happy for that.
Yes, we have more couscous.
More couscous.
How do you address point B?
How do you address point B? What do you mean by that?
Point A is very clear. You take a commitment point B. Point B.
Right. Meaning how do you actually get them to move? How do you get them to change? How do you make that movement happen? Okay, so hopefully that's what happens in an organic way throughout all the different programmings and all the different things they're going through throughout the summer. And I'm going to try and speak now about different ways that we can be better at giving chaburas during chabura time, and we can be better outside of chabura time at addressing how to make that movement happen. Yeah.
Yeah, just one thing to answer Fetter's question. I think a lot of times guys are scared to. If you have a relationship with God, you can say to him, you're at point A, and maybe you should be capable of getting to point B. No.
Yeah, so we're gonna speak about conversations like that as we go, 100%. Yeah.
We've only known these kids for like 2 weeks, though. And we're not on such a high level of cleanup that like we really actually know what these kids like. Yeah, good. Like we could say like, oh, this kid like should be going to chakras more and be going to.
That's an excellent point. I thank you for bringing that up. It's very important to approach with some degree of trepidation, right? I've made a lot of mistakes of thinking I knew a guy, and then there's like a total curveball, something out of right field that you totally didn't know about. I mean, someone's parent passed away at a young age, and they have some, really difficult issue they're dealing with. Someone is coming from a Yeshivish background. You thought they were coming from a modern Orthodox background. It's a totally different way of approaching them that you have to approach them, and you think you know the whole picture, and you find out something that you totally didn't know, and it changes the whole playing field. So if there's a guy that you want to make some real moves to try and create a relationship and move them forward, I would very highly encourage and advise you to try and speak to people who know them already, just to make sure to find out that there's nothing going on that you don't know about. I have a guy in my shir there's a guy in my shir who's like excelling beyond belief. He's like blowing my mind away with how he's like a cool kid, but he's so into everything. He's such a nice guy with good midos. He's paying so much attention. He's enjoying things. He gets to davening way before me. That doesn't necessarily mean it's impressive, but he said that he's flying high. I went over to Kamenetsky. He's a DRS kid. I went over to Kamenetsky and said, because I just wanted to make sure there's nothing I'm missing. I said to him, this kid's too good to be true. Is there something I'm missing? Like, just to make sure there's not something in the picture that I didn't realize was left out. And there actually wasn't. This kid is just too good to be true. But there's a different guy in my shir that I didn't realize, that his father passed away when he was very young. That's something you have to know. Kola probably should have told me something like that about a guy in my shir ahead of time, but it's a very big program, and everyone's doing their best. But yes, 100% it's important. When you want to really take those steps, approach with trepidation and humility to realize there's a bigger picture to every person, and you want to try and find out as much information as you can. Okay, with those sort of breakdown of different specific levels of goals, two things that I think are common to everything, again, these are intuitive, but it's just helpful to speak out sometimes. Number one, for whatever level, guys, you're talking about, for whatever your point A and point B is, the same common denominator for everyone is that the most motivating piece of moving guys forward is your relationship with them. More than the learning, more than anything else, the highest level investment you should be making is your relationship with them. That goes without saying, and you all know that, so I'm just going to move on, but I just wanted to say that. And how that comes out practically, we'll speak about a little bit more as we go. The other common denominator that's the same for every single person, every single level of chabur, or whatever you're dealing with, is that everything, and at least this is in my opinion, maybe it's because I'm a very energetic person, so it's just me trying to, preach my own style, but it seems to me that what's common to everything is that it's all about your passion, your energy, your enthusiasm, and your own having fun. One of my big pet peeves, it actually seems like most people don't do this anymore, but one of my big pet peeves when I was in my trip is guys who gave chabura on topics like bungee jumping, topics like jumping out of airplanes, things like that, because what's the idea? Why do people do that? I understand why they do this. It's a mistake. The reason they do this is because they think it's a very interesting sounding topic. You have a great hook in the beginning. It's an interesting question. Am I allowed to do this? Am I not allowed to do this? So you engage the guys for 30 seconds because it's a cool topic. But then the actual content of the halacha of the sugya, let's just be honest with each other for a second, is not all that exciting. The sugya is not more exciting than the sugya of lamdos. It's just that the topic for 30 seconds is exciting. But then the rest of the chabur is actually kind of flat, and then you have a 30-second closing, which is exciting. But you're not going to be excited about that because it's not that exciting. You have to pick the topics in learning that you actually love. However you like learning, that's how you should be giving your chabura. If you're like a cheshbin diuk lashon guy, your chabura should be that style. If you're a lamdus chakir guy, your chabura should be that style. If you're a machshava guy, you should probably be doing some gemara, but do machshava. If you're a chassidus, if you like tanakh, because you have to be teaching what you're excited about. You have to be teaching what you are, what you're passionate about, what you're having fun with, because it needs to be radiating on your face that this is something awesome, that this is something you love, this is something fun, something that changes your life in a positive way. That's how you have the impact. So it's really, really important to be coming, and even when it's not something you love, you have to just fake it until you make it and put on the show of the energy. But it's really important that there's authentic energy and authentic passion and authentic enjoyment and fun in what you're doing. Okay. So that's all kind of by way of introduction, just general klalim. A few more specific things. Now I just want to get to a few assorted ideas on specifics within a chavura, how to do improvement and development within your actual chavura time. What I'm going to talk about is a few things based on the questions that I've been getting from almost every madrasa that's spoken to me. It's been the same questions. So I just want to try and, if you heard this from me one-on-one, I apologize for the chazara, but maybe now it'll be a little bit more in an organized fashion. The biggest issue I've been getting over and over is, and I know that Rabbi and Dr. Turetsky spoke about this, so actually most of my way of dealing with this is from Dr. Turetsky, but I think with my own spin maybe, so I'm just going to say what I have to offer. The biggest issue I've heard about is different levels of guys in chavura. Some of the chaburas have a large range of guys coming from different places, and that range can exist in two different ways. Sometimes the range of levels exists on level of motivation, meaning you have a different range of guys. Some people are into it, and some people aren't into it. Sometimes the range of guys is not about motivation, but it's about skills. That some guys are very skilled, they can read inside, they can make a hakir, they know what an naftamin is, and some guys have no idea what they're doing, they can barely read Hebrew, they can break their teeth over the word who, right? So we have different levels of skills of guys. So there's two different types of levels, but either way, we have different levels of guys in our chabura. Some chaburas are lucky, they have an easier time with having common thread, but many, many chaburas have this issue. So I want to just offer a few different ideas for how, when I had this challenge in my chabura, because I had this both years that I gave chabura. My first year as staff in Kolo was, I ran yummies, so I didn't give chabura. But my second 2 years, second and third of my years as staff, I was giving chabura. I had this challenge both years. So here's what I came up with, which I found to be somewhat helpful. Nothing's perfect. It's all better on paper than it is in person. But here's what I found. Chavrusa time was huge for me. Chavrusa time opens up many ways of being able to be creative with what you do, because it gives you a lot more flexibility. So here's what I liked to do with my chabura with chavrusa time. If you have a guy who's number one in your chabura, let's say, he's very self-motivated, he's very capable, whatever it is, and you have a guy who's number six, he's really not interested, very hard. You would think in your chabura, I should probably match up one and two, three and four, three and four, five and six, right? But I actually found that one of the best moves that I did during chabura was matching up one and six. One and six, two and five, three and four. What that does is it gives number one a challenge to teach things to six. So he's challenged and he's occupied. He's not bored anymore because he has to figure everything out and he has to explain it to number six. It challenges number six because he has to raise his level. He's not in a group of people he can just space out and let chabura go fly by him. He has to be engaged because there's someone sitting right across from him. I mean, has to. There's no has to for any high school. There's no such thing as has to for high school kids. But theoretically, has to be engaged because he's directly facing someone who's talking to him one-on-one and trying to get through this material, trying to get through this content. What's he going to do other than engage to some degree, theoretically speaking? So one and six is a great way of doing things. And then, two and five, three and four. Hopefully, three and four is a nice, easy match. And two and five is the same chop. Now, it wouldn't be that way every time. I'll take questions in a second. I would mix and match. That's what I did. Every time I gave chabura, I assigned who chavrusa during chabura. I called out who was going to learn with who. So sometimes it would be 1 and 6, 2 and 5. Sometimes it would be 1 and 2 and 5 and 6. Now, what 1 and 2, 5 and 6 does for you is that 1 and 2 are engaged because they're learning on a higher level. They're both into it, so they're good to go. And the chop of 5 and 6 is that now you get to give a chabura 1 on 2. Because when 1 and 2 are learning, 3 and 4 are learning, you make a three-person chavura with number guy, number five, and number six. Because you just go over to them, let the other chavrusas work on their own. Not necessarily for the entire time of chavrusa, but for a chunk of it. And then you're working with five and six, one on two. That's an amazing opportunity. How often do you have, that's an incredible opportunity of direct engagement. There's not that much they could do to avoid you. So mixing and matching, I found was very helpful. Which one other thing I put in brackets here about chavrusa time. Unless you have upper level guys, Lanias Daiti, the goal of anything in this 6 weeks, but for sure chavura time, the goal is not skill building. We're not working on getting them to become better readers unless you have like mamish the top 1, 2, 3 chaburas in total. But we're not working on getting them to become better readers. So for chavrusa time, especially if you have lower level guys, put it in your English translation of the source. Who cares? That's not the issue. The issue is to get them actually engaged, get them learning. If they're chavrusa time and they can read something in English, that's great. Now they can actually work with something. They can toy with something. They can talk about a topic. But if it's in Hebrew, they're just going to get stuck on the first two words, and then you know that now they're out for slushies. So put an English translation of your source. I think that's a really important point. Yeah, a couple of questions.
Theoretically, and the entire number is like an hour. That's very theoretical.
Yeah. Right, so it's a challenge. When I was in Madrid, chavura was a little bit longer. And I think when I was a camper, it was like an hour and 20 minutes, maybe even longer. When I was in Madrid, it was an hour and 15 minutes, and now it's barely even an hour. So that definitely adds to your 100% right. I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it. But look, these are just ideas, and it's worth everyone experimenting in your own chavrusa, in your own chavura. Try, play around with it. I found that it was very, very kedai. Personally, I found it was very kedai. I think it added a lot to it. I'm not talking about seder. I'm not talking about a long chavrusa. I'm talking about 5 minutes. I'm talking about one source for your chavrusa time. Imam is one source, two sources. Depends on what type of source we're talking about. But I'm not talking about a long time. I'm talking about it's a way to change things up in terms of momentum. If you have upper level guys that don't necessarily need that, but for a lot of chaburas, the more change up you have, the better. Right? Movies nowadays, there's no scene that lasts for more than 8 seconds. Our chaburas should not carry out the same scene for more than however much time. You want to constantly be changing the mode of education. So changing into chavrusa, back into lecture, that changes things up constantly, allows them to keep their attention. And I think it creates a lot of opportunity for creativity in terms of matching up guys in different levels, giving them different types of opportunities to force the one guy to teach the six guy to step up to the one, gives you the ability to learn one on two with the five and six guy. Yeah.
I tried that once with the one and six. I found that 3 and 4 flew. One and six and 2 and 5 did not do anything, that the 6 and 5 couldn't give back to the 1 and 2, mm-hmm. So much so that the one guy came up to me afterwards and asked me why I didn't.
Right. So great. So I want to get later to personal one-on-one conversations with guys, and I want to get back to this mix and match thing. Not that I'm going to be able to answer your question, but just instead of answering right now, when I get back to, I want to talk about one-on-one conversations. Yeah.
Just to Adam's point, I decided after Dr. Fredzi's book, I decided to try the chavrusa thing, and I found that what I had to do and what it ended up working really well is that beforehand, like you come into a chavrusa, like you have a chavrusa prepared, and you're like, this is what I want to get to, here's the structure, whatever. So he's right. Like when you throw in a 15-minute chavrusa in an hour slot, so that totally changes the whole dynamic. So I changed the whole dynamic. I changed the chavrusa. I said, okay, listen, I'm not going to do, this is not my structure. Instead, we're going to learn this source, right? And you're going to ask me, everyone's going to ask me two questions. And we're going to go around, and we're going to ask all the questions, and we're going to see if you can answer the questions. And I just changed the chavrusa.
100%, yeah.
And it was awesome. You guys loved it.
Great.
It was much more interactive than it would have been anyway.
Right.
Which is weird, right? I'm not even interacting with you. You're learning. But it ended up making the chavrusa much more interactive because they were all invested. Like, it was all
awesome. Yeah, great.
So, like,
great.
It won't work necessarily with how you came in. Like, just try and,
And experiment. I mean, all these things are just, I'm just throwing them out there for experimentation. I want to just keep going because I don't have that much time left. Just a couple of other very, very quick ideas for dealing with different level guys while you're learning, not the chavrusa, while you're learning as a chavura. Okay, so one thing, it's just a simple little practical thing, something that I found helped me when I was giving chavura to different level guys. Explain a source, because again, what's the challenge? The challenge is you have to repeat something a few times to the lower level guys. You have to say something once and move on to the upper level guys before they get bored very quickly, right? So here's an idea of what I did. Very simple. Maybe you guys do this already. But you explain the source, you explain the idea, whatever it is, and then right after you explain it the first time, you throw out a challenging question, a question that you know only your 1 and 2 guy are going to hit, right? You throw out a challenging question. You say the question quickly or whatever, one time, and you say, if you already understood what we said, I want to think about this question. I want to just quickly repeat what we said. And now you repeat what you said so that the 3, 4, 5, 6 guys are getting a repetition of what you said the first time. And now you can even try and call them out by name and address them directly. And the 1 and 2 guy, while you're repeating, are able to think about the question you threw out, which is a challenging question, which was the step ahead, the next level. And then when you finish repeating, now you say, you know, Shmerel, did you think about, because you know he's going to get it. Did anyone figure out the answer to this question? Right? And then you can bring everyone back in together. So it's just a very quick and easy way to get in hitting all bases at the same time. You get a repetition of the idea, and you get the upper level guys to be thinking about something and not bored and spacing out while you're repeating something. It's a very simple type of thing. You could do the same type of shtick, but instead of with a question, with another source in brackets. You could say, I want to just repeat this idea to anyone who didn't get it. The next source is something we're not going to do inside as a group, but if you got what I said already, just take a quick peek at this next source and see if you can figure out what it says and then tell the rest of the chabura. It's the same type of idea, just instead of a question, you have another source that someone could be looking at while you're repeating your explanation, okay? Those are a couple of ideas for dealing with different skills and different motivation levels in your chabura. Challenge number 2 that's been, obviously, this is, you know, Pasha, going to be the biggest challenge of chabura, is batala. Guys just don't want to listen, right? Guys want to talk. Okay, so 2 ideas on this, okay? Number 1, divide time for chabura mitchila. If you have an hour of time, theoretically speaking, right? So if you're teaching and chabura and there's batala, so it's very choppy. You're going in and out. You're weaving out of teaching batala. So you're nishta here, nishta here, right? You're not getting this, you're not getting that. It's just basically ends up being a flop, right? Instead, and it's going to depend on the individualized chabura, how you divide the time. But instead, mitchila, you can set up a time structure of how you're doing learning and how you're doing batala. Meaning, you say to them, guys, we're learning for 20 minutes now, then we're going to take a 10-minute break to schmooze, to hang out, to go get drinks, whatever it is. We're going to learn for 15 minutes, we're going to take a 15-minute break, depending on who your guys are. We're going to learn for 5 minutes, take a 5-minute break. Whatever it is, you have to know your guys, know your chabura, but set it up mitchila, because then you actually have 20 minutes of learning. You actually have 5 minutes of learning, whatever it is, as opposed to everything being chopping and you're not getting either one, right? So that's one idea. And within that, I would say to you that I think it's, and this is going to, we're going to get back to this when we talk about one-on-one conversations, but you can make that individualized even for specific guys in the chabura. Meaning you might have a structure for your whole chabura, it's going to be 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 10 minutes. But you had a personal conversation with a guy, you said to him, look, I know that we're, you know, it's really hard, it's the afternoon, it's the summer, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. We're doing 2010 because I think that most of us, you know, that's what we're holding as a chabura. But if you need, you know, a 5-minute break in the middle of those 20 minutes, I trust you. You're a mature guy. If it's reciprocal, if you're going to be all in when you're in, right? Then I'm giving you the respect and the trust that you can take a 5-minute break when you need it, right? But set up those things mitchila. That's the point. However it is, as a chabura and as individual guys, set those things up at the outset instead of letting it become natural where then it's always just constantly weaving in and out and you're not here, you're not there, you're not getting much done. Okay, number 2, and this is a big thing I found, make your batala substantive. Batala is awesome. Batala is one of the most important parts of chabura unless, again, you're number 1, 2 chabura in camp. Batala is one of the most important parts of chabura because batala should be substantive in terms of talking about life, talking about your own life, talking about Judaism, talking about whatever it is that's going on. Guys, I wrote down two easy examples I was able to think of off the top of my head. You don't want it to look forced. You don't want to look like stupid and you're trying to like turn everything into a musr. So you have to be quick on your feet and you have to figure out a way to make it natural. Guys are talking about Steph Curry. Okay, so somehow you naturally weave into the conversation. I just read last night that did you know that Steph Curry, when he was like 18 years old, he had to spend an entire summer reworking his shot because he hadn't grown to 6'3 yet, and he used to shoot from here, so he couldn't shoot over the guy. So he worked with his dad for an entire summer. It was the most interesting article I just read about. It's so cool. And then from there, you can springboard into talking about pretty meaningful things, right? Talking about what does it mean to have to change something that you're so used to? What does it mean to have to spend an entire summer working on something? You talk about, you know, how many shots, you know, how many shots Steph Curry takes a week to become the best shooter in the NBA? He takes at least 2,000 shots a week of just three-pointers. That's in addition to all his other, you know, scheduled practice. And then you talk about a work ethic. You talk about what it means to work hard. You can turn batala into something so substantive. Guys are talking about how nasty this campus is and how it's so hot and this stinks and that stinks. You say to them, you know, when I was in KBY, when I was in Gush, when I was in Hakoto, when I was in Shalvim, whatever it is, you talk about, you know, the reason I didn't do the other yeshivas because the other yeshivas are actually nice. But, you know, when I was in, you know, wherever it was, you know, you can't imagine. This was luxury. This food was like dining in a 5-star hotel, which is awesome. And from there, you know what you have? You have an amazing springboard into a conversation about the value of leaving our luxury of American houses for a little bit of time to gain an appreciation and gain a work, whatever it is. But these are just some dumb examples. But the point is, you can turn batala into such substantive conversations that might actually be more important than the sugya you're learning. Turn batala substantive. Be quick on your feet and make it natural, but turn your batala into something substantive. It's golden. It's at least for me, that was a huge part of chabura. Okay, so those are just some ideas. Now, I just want to, I'm sorry, I'm just going so fast. I'm going to talk about a few very assorted, disconnected ideas of things that I did that I found were great. what I like to call spiritual processing. There's something in education called processing. After a school Shabbaton, after a speaker came, there's something called processing. Very simple. It means you try and go around and reflect on it, either by speaking about it, you know, asking a question that everyone goes around and answers, or you hand out a piece of paper that everyone fills out with some prompt questions. So in a religious sense, I like to call it spiritual processing. Do it with your chabura. This Tzfat Shabbaton, it's not too late. This Tzfat Shabbaton, you could do it right now. Have them process the Tzfat Shabbaton. I did it with my shir. When I was a madrich, I did it with my chabura after any big event in Kolom. You process what happened. That guys actually think about it and reflect, and it actually goes into them and not just passing by them. Ask them, what was your most meaningful part of the Shabbaton? What was your most enjoyable part of the Shabbaton? What are you taking on? What do you think about this speaker? Whatever it was, process everything. I did, in the first or second day of Chabur, I gave out a processing sheet for what are your goals for the summer. And then halfway through the summer, there was, what were your goals? How have you met them? What new goals do you have? At the end of the summer, there was another reflecting processing sheet. Give out processing, either as a group discussion or as sheets. I think it's something that's really important for guys to have on Kola. They're moving so fast, there's so much going on, they should actually be giving time to think. And talk about, when you give out these processing sheets, talk about the value of actually stopping to think. Like if Veselovsky spoke, I was great. I don't mean to be rude, but I just want to get in what I did because I'm selfish, so I only have like 8 minutes left, so can I just go? And then we'll see at the end. Okay, two, something I found that was awesome, I'm sorry. Something I found that was really great. And again, there's less time in Chabura, so just experiment with it. I'm just throwing it out there. I had my guys give Chabura. Starting about this point in the summer, I told them that I wanted each of them in the last week of the summer to give a Chabura. You want to cram? Oh. I didn't realize we were here. This is so embarrassing because now you know that wasn't going to be my drift. Especially that second. I actually, in all honesty, I actually wasn't a good madrich. I was engaged and I was a horrible madrich. The reason I'm back here is because every single time I've seen Rabbi Benovitz and Elibowitz since I left Kol, I've said to them, you have no idea how much harata I have as to how bad of a madrich I was my last summer. Please, I'm begging you, give me a chance to come back to Kol and just figure out a way to make up for that horrible summer. And Yoni Kiron can testify to that. Okay, so one of the things that I did, and if you want to get someone to be really honest with you, ask Oren Strich about it. One of the things I did was I had my guys give chaburas, okay? I had my guys give chaburas. Easy sugyas, tkiah shofar, mitzvah tkiah or shmiah, a few nachaminas, mitzvahs, whatever, I don't know what else I did. Easy sugyas, chiva chilan erev yom kippur, is it because it's part of tshuva, or is it so that it's you fast harder, you fast easier? Easy sugyas, self-contained easy sugyas, that guys can understand, you're obviously speed-fooding them the entire thing, spoon feeding them the entire thing, but you make it seem as if they're doing it. They give a chabura. At the end of the summer, you put the chabura they gave into the packet. They feel a bilus. They feel that they gave something over. This is just a personal thing that I'm obsessed with because I got into learning. At one specific moment when my Rabbi Yerma Mendelssohn in MTA in 11th grade had us do this, I got into learning because of this. So I tried reenacting it, and I found this very successful. You have guys give chaburas. In addition, what that allows you to do is it allows you to have an opportunity to push them to come to do some chabura learning post-marv, and you get some one-on-one time with them. Because you tell them, let's prepare your chabura tonight at 11:30 in the base, one-on-one, you prepare the chabura with them. In the last, I would do some allotment of time during chabura and some time pushing them to come post-mariv, getting them to the base, preparing the chaburas. You work on a makoro sheet with them. The whole thing, them giving it over ends up being 10, 15 minutes. It's not going to take up your entire chabura, and if it is, it does, you might be happy about that. But you get them working on giving chaburas. That really is a new level of skin in the game. It's a new level of them feeling a bias, them feeling they created something, that they're giving something over. For me, it was really awesome. One more point, not one more point, a few more points. Next point, especially for upper level guys, be explicit about methodology. You want them for the upper, again, this depends on your goals, but if your point A to point B, me and Mitzvah about this for a while, if your point A to point B is that when they get home, they can actually learn when they get home, they can actually open a Gemara, be explicit about your methodology of learning. Don't give them a prepackaged sugya that it seems like they're going to look at this and say, this is awesome, this is so fun, but how am I ever going to do this when I get home? Talk about your methodology. I don't know about all Rebbeim and Yeshivas. I know that one of my Rebbeim, Mishan Aleph from Nussbacher, was very, very, he did this a lot. And there, Rebbe Targan and Gush, my impression is, he does this a lot. Be open about your methodology. When you learn a Gemara, you learn a Gemara with them, and then you say to them, Now, do you know how I got to the other Gemara that is a contradiction to the Gemara? You show them the Masoras HaShas. You show them how the Rishon, Harashi, cites another Gemara. You show them how you got to the next step. You don't just jump steps, because then they don't know what you're doing. You show them how you got to the next step. You show them how you plug in one thing to the other. How you looked up the Rambam in the Ein Mishpat, and then you looked at the Kesem Mishnah, and then you turned to the Mafteach in the back. You show them these things as they're going on. Rabbi Turetsky, I remember, I wasn't even his Chabura, popular misconception, I was in Mickey Elman's Chabura. But I remember that Rabbi Turetsky used to actually give Chaburas on methodology. At the end of the summer, he would give a chabura on how to do chazara. There's a chabura called how to do chazara. I think these are very positive things. You don't have to go that far. But make your methodology of how you got to what you got to, make that explicit so that they can actually take that home with them and be able to incorporate that into their own learning. Okay, two other very quick things. Something I found very, very productive, I'm actually finding it very helpful right now in giving shiur, is one way to be excited about your learning and make them want to pay more attention is make it personal. Just yesterday, and it's true, I'm not saying to do these things when they're not true. Yesterday I was talking about a kasha I had on the sugya of Ovelas Yasson. I had this kasha since the first time I learned sukkah, based on Tosas and sukkah, my shana bet when I learned sukkah, so that was 5-6 years ago. I told them, and a couple of years ago, so Baruch Hashem, I came across an answer I think might be helpful to answer this question. So I told them, when I had the question, I said to them, do you guys know that I've been bothered by this question for the past 6 years, and I finally found an answer, and I'm so excited to share with you? When you have that type of personal passion, everyone wants to listen, even the guys in my shir wanted to listen when I explained it with that personal passion. Because I just told them that I had a question for 6 years. That's not actually so long if you're like, you know, Blachman. I tell you that's like a blink of an eye. But for these little pishers, that's a really long time. They think there's something really special going on here. They're really excited to hear it. And the other day, I had a chiddush in the third paragraph of Megillah on Shomei Akona. I told them, guys, I have no idea if this is true. But this is my own chiddush, and I'm so excited to tell it to you. Please tell me what you think. They wanted to listen because I told them this is my own chiddush. Anything that becomes personal is so much more attractive to them. It's so much more interesting than if you're reading it out of some achram. Make things personal. Tell them your journey of how you came across this in your learning. One last idea in terms of the assorted ideas is potentially, I don't know how many people this apply to, maybe one or two people, you can think about doing a location change at this point in the summer to give yourself a new jump start, a new fresh start. If you feel like your chabura hit a max point in terms of where you are now, or it's draining, the energy's draining, maybe think about saying to the guys, look, we have 2.5 weeks left of the summer. Let's get things going. I think we're ready to move to the base measures, move to the annex base measures if you're in a classroom. Whatever it is, you can do things like that. A location change might be a way to jumpstart a new energy, a new spark if you want to get a fresh start if things are spiraling out of control. Okay, last thing, and this will just take 1 minute and then we're done, is one-on-one conversations. This is actually the main thing I wanted to speak about, so I shouldn't have left it for last. We don't have any time, but I cannot stress enough how much I found that the answer to almost every question of difficulty with a guy is a one-on-one conversation. Guys are shockingly mature when they're not with their peers. Guys are so ridiculously immature when they're with their peers. When you take them one-on-one, you can have so many conversations with them about so many things. And the most important thing in these conversations, and I'm not going to, have to share my other R's about these conversations now, so maybe another time, but just the one thing I need to share about these conversations. Present everything as your own personal narrative. I was just telling someone about a guy they have who is overly outwardly religious, which is not in proportion to what's going on the inside, and it seems pretty dangerous and worrisome. So the way I would approach a guy like that is I would say to them, you know, I think you're doing amazing. It's awesome with the growth you're making. I remember when I was in yeshiva, it was so competitive. I was trying to impress my rebbeim. I was trying to do this and that. And I remember having this struggle of putting on a little bit more of an outward performance than was actually true to my inside. And I would present this whole story, which is probably true. I'd make it true, but present the whole story, you know, with a little bit of tweaks. I would present the whole story about my own personal narrative, not calling them out on anything directly. And then at the end of my personal narrative, you say to them, you know, how does any of that resonate? Do you relate to that? Do you think maybe you're struggling with any of those things? Is any of that going on? I noticed this, not in any tense way, you don't want to push any buttons, but you can point out something small. Present things in your own personal narrative, things you struggled with, things you've been through, and when you present it like that, you're creating this straw man about your personal story, and then at the very end, you try and subtly weave that into them, into your conversation with them, and that opens up a lot of things. Okay, there's a lot more to say on personal conversation. I think it's huge. Can I emphasize that enough? Maybe another time. Shreya, thank you for listening.